Dr. William Luther Pierce, 2002, Jewish Hate, the Media, and the ADL.
Hello. Last week, I mentioned that a record company I own, Resistance Records, was attacked in an hour-long special TV program on one of Sumner Redstone's music television channels, VH1. Redstone, who was born with the name Murray Rothstein, is one of the most powerful of the Jewish media masters. He owns not only VH1, but also MTV and the CBS network. His MTV specializes in encouraging young whites to mix with and act like blacks. He promotes hip-hop culture and rap music among white kids, persuading white boys to talk black and wear baggy shorts and backward baseball caps, and persuading teenaged white girls to have sex with blacks. He is probably the most destructive and hate-filled of all the Jewish media bosses. The special VH1 program to which I referred was called Inside Hate Rock. Hate Rock is what Redstone and his people call the music I produce and distribute. Actually, there's nothing hateful at all about my music. Its purpose is to help young white people have a sense of identity and pride and purpose, all things that Redstone and company are trying to take away from them. Redstone's aim, and the aim of the Jewish media bosses generally, whether they're in Hollywood or on Madison Avenue, is to alienate young white people, to uproot them, destroy their sense of racial identity, confuse them, make them forget their traditions and their history, and persuade them to mix with blacks and other non-whites. That's why Redstone promotes rap music so heavily. His ultimate aim is to destroy our people, our race. And because I'm trying to counter that with Resistance Records, he calls me a hater and calls the music I produce and distribute hate rock. Well, in addition to music, Resistance Records also produces and distributes video games. A new game that we've just begun distributing is named Ethnic Cleansing. The kids really love it. It's selling like hotcakes. Not only was our music attacked in the VH1 special I mentioned, but our new video game also was denounced as hateful. And then one of the most powerful and hateful Jewish pressure groups, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rit, also jumped on the bandwagon and began screaming about our new game. "It's violent," they screamed. "It teaches children to hate," they screamed. Let me tell you, every video game I've seen is violent. Combat is the most common theme of video games. That was true even back in the days of the first primitive video games, such as Donkey Kong and Pac-Man. Most video games today involve shooting people or hacking people up with swords or other weapons. And I'm talking about games marketed by Sumner Redstone's fellow tribesmen. I'm talking about games produced and distributed by Jewish media companies that make regular donations to the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rit. The Anti-Defamation League doesn't scream about those games. Some parents are alarmed by the high level of violence in the video games their children play. But the Anti-Defamation League isn't. Perhaps violent video games aren't good for kids. I don't really know. But they are a fact of life. Many kids spend most of their free time playing video games. The point is that Sumner Redstone and the Anti-Defamation League think our game is hateful and dangerous, but not other video games. Why is that? What's the difference? I'll tell you. Our game, Ethnic Cleansing, is a game designed to raise the racial consciousness of the white kids who play it. That's why Sumner Redstone and the Anti-Defamation League hate it. That's why they're screaming about it. That's why they're denouncing our game as dangerous and complaining about the violence in it, but they aren't complaining about other video games that are at least as violent. A game that has an American GI in the Second World War shooting Germans is okay with Sumner Redstone and the Anti-Defamation League. Likewise, for a Civil War game in which Yankees and rebels slaughter each other, they think that's fine. But our game, which involves urban guerrilla warfare between whites and non-whites, they call hateful and dangerous. In other words, it's okay for whites to fight against each other. It's okay for whites to kill whites. But it's not okay for whites to fight against non-whites. That's taboo. Anyway, our game, Ethnic Cleansing, is designed to break that taboo. Our game is designed to teach white kids to stick up for their own people. It's designed to help white kids shed the racial guilt and racial self-hatred, the sense of racial inferiority that Sumner Redstone and the folks in the Anti-Defamation League have worked so hard to instill in them. It's designed to help them think in terms of whites against non-whites instead of whites against other whites. That's why VH1 and the Anti-Defamation League hate it. But you know, we shouldn't be surprised about that. VH1 is owned by a Jew. It's a Jewish propaganda channel. The Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rit is a Jewish pressure group. Their aim is to destroy white racial consciousness and break down any feeling of white solidarity. The last thing they want is for whites to learn to stick up for themselves. So we expect them to hate us and denounce us. They have their agenda, and we have ours. Everyone should understand that, but most people don't. The reason they don't is that all of the mass media, even those few not yet owned by Jews, collaborate to keep the Jewish agenda concealed from the public. The media routinely refer to the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rit, and from here on I'll just call it the ADL for short. They routinely refer to the ADL not as a Jewish pressure group or a Jewish propaganda organization or even as a Jewish lobbying group, but as a human rights organization, or as a civil rights group. Really, the media want the public to believe that the ADL is an impartial group concerned with what's good for America rather than with what's good for the Jews. In fact, most media won't even tell you that it's a Jewish organization with strong ties to Israel. So let me tell you a little about the ADL. And you'll understand better why they do what they do. And you'll also see a little more clearly the crookedness of virtually all of the mainstream media in America. The ADL was organized in 1913 by a group of rich Jews specifically as a response to a notorious child rape and murder in Georgia. Leo Frank was a Jew who owned a pencil factory in Atlanta. In 1913, he raped and murdered one of his white female employees, 14-year-old Mary Fagan. He was tried, convicted, and sentenced to death. The governor of Georgia, in response to Jewish lobbying, and most believe in response to a large Jewish bribe, almost immediately commuted the death sentence. Angry Georgians then seized the Jewish child rapist and murderer and hanged him. The Frank case was widely reported in Georgia newspapers in great detail and caused much hostile feeling against Jews. The purpose of the ADL was to deal with such matters in the future by attacking and attempting to discredit anyone who opposed Jews or Jewish policies, by generating pro-Jewish propaganda, and by exerting influence on legislators and other public officials in a more discreet manner than the rather clumsy way in which the Georgia governor had been persuaded to commute the death sentence of Leo Frank. After the formation of the State of Israel in 1948, lobbying for military and financial aid for Israel also became a major ADL activity. The ADL still does all of those things today. And in my case, the group's principal activity has been attacking me and attempting to discredit me. In fact, the ADL devotes so much of its effort to attempts to discredit anyone who opposes Jewish policies that it is known in some quarters as the Defamation League. The ADL regularly refers to me as a terrorist and claims that I am linked not only to various terrorist acts, such as the Oklahoma City bombing, but also to bank robberies, murders, and other acts of criminal violence. For example, my link to the Oklahoma City bombing is that Tim McVeigh, whom I didn't even know existed until I saw him on television after he was arrested, Tim McVeigh is said to have read and been fond of a novel I wrote 27 years ago, The Turner Diaries. The other so-called links are even more tenuous. And yet, the mainstream media regularly quote the ADL in saying that I am linked to terrorist and criminal activity, and they describe the ADL almost as if it were an official source of information. So let me tell you, I have never been involved in any terrorist or criminal activity of any sort, but the ADL has. In November 1992, after confidential police files were stolen from the San Francisco Police Department, an investigation was begun that led eventually to search warrants being issued. On April 8, 1993, both the San Francisco and the Los Angeles offices of the ADL were searched by police teams armed with these warrants, and more than 12,000 stolen confidential police files were recovered. Most of these confidential files didn't have anything to do with criminal activity, but instead contained personal information on individuals collected by the police in connection with driver's license applications, pistol permits, security clearances, and other routine matters. What the individuals in all of these police files had in common is that the ADL considered them enemies because they had at one time or another in some way opposed some Jewish policy or some Jewish interest. Some of the individuals in the stolen files were legislators or other public officials that the ADL wanted to bring pressure against. Other criminal activity by the ADL, in addition to the possession of the stolen police files, also came to light in 1993. A San Francisco Police Department inspector, Tom Girard, who had been receiving payments by the ADL to steal the files for them, fled to the Philippines to avoid prosecution. And evidence was found during the search of the ADL's San Francisco and Los Angeles offices that the same sort of bribery, corruption of police agencies, and illegal collection of confidential police files was occurring in New York, Washington, Chicago, St. Louis, and Atlanta. Unfortunately, the ADL already had corrupted the judicial system in California to the point that it was able to stifle further law enforcement action. Very shortly thereafter, the mass media in California, which initially had given substantial coverage to the case, were persuaded to drop the matter as well. Some of the individuals whose confidential files had been stolen by the ADL were not ready to drop the matter, however, and they filed civil suits against the ADL for invasion of their privacy. With the enormous resources of organized jury behind it, the ADL fought these lawsuits tenaciously, appealing every adverse decision. Finally, however, after 9 years in the courts, the ADL last week paid damages of $178,000 to the last three victims of its illegal spying. I'm sure that you didn't see anything about that in the news last week, because after the initial publicity back in 1993, the mainstream media have ignored the case. They continue to refer with respect to the ADL as a human rights organization with never a mention of its criminal activity. And they continue to quote the ADL's hints and suggestions and insinuations that I am somehow linked to terrorist and criminal activity. It is, of course, the ADL, not I, who is engaged in criminal activity. But you would never know that if your source of information is the mainstream media. For those listeners who have access to good reference sources, however, find yourself a copy of the Los Angeles Times from April 9, 1993, and read all about it. Actually, the ADL's stealing of police files is the least of its criminal activities. It just happens to be one activity where the group made a slip and got exposed momentarily. Far more serious are the ADL's links to organized crime, to the Jewish master swindler Mark Rich, for example, or to the Jewish gang boss Mo Dalitz. If you were following the news closely in January of last year, when Bill Clinton, just hours before leaving the White House, issued a number of pardons for criminals, an inordinately large percentage of whom were Jews, you will perhaps remember the controversy around his pardon for Mark Rich. Rich is a billionaire international commodities trader. He was indicted on a large number of criminal charges, including wire fraud and money laundering, before fleeing the country to avoid prosecution. He has given huge sums from his ill-gotten loot to Israel and to the ADL. The ADL chairman, Abe Foxman, wrote to Clinton specifically requesting a pardon for Rich. And, of course, Rich got his pardon. Mo Dalitz was the boss of Detroit's all-Jewish Purple Gang, which got its start smuggling illegal whiskey into the country and then branched out into white slavery, loan sharking, illegal gambling, and contract murder. After the Second World War, Dalitz moved into the casino business in Las Vegas and eventually became the leading gang boss there. And he gave generously to the ADL and other Jewish organizations. He was one of the ADL's biggest donors during the 1970s and early 1980s. The ADL reciprocated by presenting Dalitz with its annual Torch of Liberty Award at a formal dinner in his honor in Las Vegas in 1985. Dalitz and seven other gangsters were killed in a gang shootout shortly thereafter. What's important is not that the ADL consorts with gangsters and engages in criminal activity. What's important is that the news media conceal that from the public and treat the ADL as a respectable human rights organization that can be relied on for accurate information about people like me or about anyone the Jews consider an obstacle to their policies. That's bad. That's very bad, and it's dangerous. And not just because it misinforms the public about people like me. It's dangerous because it allows the ADL to represent itself as an authority. It gives the ADL much more power to corrupt. It was bad enough when Jewish groups had only their money to bribe politicians and judges and law enforcement officials, as in the days of Leo Frank. But now, with the collusion of the mass media, the ADL is able to wear a false cloak of authority. And the unfortunate fact is that whenever a military or law enforcement person sees someone wearing a cloak of authority, his tendency is to salute and wait for orders. Most of us have at least a bit of an authoritarian streak in us. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Military and law enforcement people, on the average, have a much bigger streak of authoritarianism in their personalities. And that's not necessarily a bad thing either. But when the ADL uses its false cloak of authority to influence America's legislative, judicial, military, and law enforcement establishments, that's a very bad thing and very dangerous for the freedom and even for the survival of our people. And in fact, the ADL is using the false cloak of authority bestowed on it by the mass media to cozy up to and corrupt military and law enforcement people all across America. The Jewish mass media have prepared the ground by talking so much about hate crimes and hate speech that they have convinced large segments of the public that any printed material or public statement that is not politically correct is hate. Anything I publish, for example, is automatically labeled as hate by the media. If I criticize America's insane immigration policy, the media will call that hate. If I complain about the government's policy of putting Israel's interests ahead of America's interests in the Middle East, that's hate too. I could publish a book on bicycle repair, and the Jewish media would call it hate. The media have the public sensitized to that word, and they've done that deliberately. And they have the more simple-minded elements of the public convinced that there's something illegal about publishing or distributing anything the media have labeled as hate. If, for example, members of my organization, the National Alliance, distribute leaflets calling for a halt to immigration from the Third World, or even demanding that the government enforce the immigration laws it already has by stopping illegal aliens from coming across our southern border, the media invariably will use the word hate in every other sentence in reporting our distribution. And then some of the simpletons will call the local police or the FBI to report that our leaflets were left on their front porches, believing that a crime has been committed. All of that is bad enough. But then somebody from the local office of the ADL will approach the local police chief and offer the ADL's help as an authority on hate and extremism. We will explain to you how to recognize hate crimes and speech crimes, the ADL will say. We will teach your officers who the haters are, and we will explain why you should keep an eye on them and harass them and arrest them whenever you can. Ordinarily, any self-respecting police chief would resent someone like that telling him how to do his job. He would tell the ADL busybody to buzz off, especially if he knows that the organization offering its advice is a criminal organization. But usually he doesn't know that, because the media have kept that a secret. Usually he thinks that the ADL is an authority, almost with an official status, because the media deliberately have created that impression. And so the ADL is able to worm its way into local law enforcement and exert its destructive influence on the way the law is enforced. In many cases, it is able to persuade the police to violate the civil rights of people it doesn't like. For the police to let the ADL tell them how to recognize and treat so-called haters is like the police going to the mafia and seeking advice on how to deal with organized crime. And the ADL does the same thing with our armed forces. It's like having the Pentagon hiring active, practicing Al-Qaeda members to teach the military about terrorism and how to recognize a terrorist. It sounds crazy that we actually have the greasiest of Jews whispering into the ears of police and military officials all over America, telling them how they should do their jobs. We actually have such Jews with ADL connections installed in offices in the Pentagon, in the White House, and in the Justice Department. That's a bad situation. Like many other bad situations in America today, it has arisen directly from the Jewish control of the mass media. What can we do about it? Well, you know what I'm doing. I'm building alternative media as fast as I can to counter the Jewish media. I'm happy to have your support for my work. Here's something else you can do. If you know anyone in law enforcement, ask him whether or not his department has been approached by the ADL or has hired the ADL to give training of any sort to the personnel in his department, or whether or not any ADL propaganda has been circulating among members of his department. If his department has had any contact at all with the ADL, tell him what you know. Tell him that you are alarmed and outraged that his department is involved with a criminal, anti-American organization that is working to undermine our Bill of Rights and destroy our Constitution. Get him to help you spread this information to other members of his department. Thanks for being with me again today.